Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to India Glycols Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akash Kumar from ICICI Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Erwin. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining on India Glycols Limited Q4 and FY23 results conference call. We are joined on this call with India Glycols management, represented by Mr. Rupak Saraswat, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rajesh Marwa, Head, Sales and Marketing, Mr. S.K. Shukla, Head, Liquor Business, and Mr. Ankur Jain, Head, Legal and Company Secretary. I would like to invite Mr. Rupak Saraswat to initiate this proceeding with his opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
So thank you, Akash. Good afternoon, everybody, and very welcome, and thank you for taking out the time to join us. And I hope all of you are doing well. Let me now take you to a brief statement of performance for India Glycols Limited for the quarter as well as the full year. You may have seen the results, so I'll quickly go through some of the highlights. If you look at the quarterly performance, we've achieved a gross turnover of 1616 crores, which is up 8% roughly. A net turnover of 619 crores, which is down by 3.6%. A EBITDA for the quarter of 100 crores, which is up 19%. We've seen a healthy EBITDA margin improvement, so the EBITDA margin for the quarter is 16.1%, which is up 306 basis points. So as you can see, for the quarter, overall business has shown a good growth momentum during the quarter. And you can also see margin improvement, which is supported by cost actions as well as some focus that we've had on better margin businesses. I will talk about it a little later in a minute. If you look at the yearly performance, we've achieved a gross turnover of 6,642 crores, marginally up 0.6%, a net turnover of 2,651 crores, down by 7.6%. Keep in mind that when we are looking at the comparative year for one quarter, for the prior year, we also had the business which eventually became a part of the joint venture. EBITDA for the year on a consolidation basis is 319 crores, up 15.4%. And EBITDA margin has also seen improvement at 11.9%, which is up 237 basis points. As I mentioned to you, it has been impacted to some extent by the transfer of the EOD business to the JV, which was still part of IGL for the first quarter in the prior comparative year. And we've also discontinued some lower margin businesses, which has impacted our turnover, but at an overall EBITDA and a EBITDA margin level, it has remained healthy. As you've heard from us before, pressures on raw material and energy costs have largely affected the entire year. And having said that, we have taken action for cost mitigation, which has helped our margin improvement. Giving you a quick snapshot of what happened through the year, so you can see I've already articulated the number. We've had good revenue growth in terms of portable spirits, which is up 10%, and Nature Biopharma, which is up 22%, and a decline in the BSPC, or Bio-Based Specialties and Performance Chemicals top line, with 15.9%. Again, this is the part of the business from which the specialties portfolio was carved out and put into the joint venture. And this is also part of the business in which we discontinued some poor margin businesses, which is something that I've already mentioned. EBITDA in the quarter improved by 19% on a year-on-year basis compared to the same quarter of prior year. And it improved 15.4% for FY23. And you can see that there is a margin improvement across sectors. So for BSPC, EBITDA margin for Q4 is 14.9%, which is up 300 basis points. And for the year, it is 9.7%, which is up 270 basis points. For portable spirits, for the quarter, EBITDA margin is 16%, which is up 40 basis points. And for the year, it is 14.1%, which is up 50 basis points. For NHL Biopharma, we've got a 20 basis point improvement in EBITDA margin, but it is also a business which is the highest margin business as such. So that margin has been maintained. It has moved marginally up from 28.4% to 30.2%. So overall, margins saw improvement across sectors. We've had good margins sustained in NHL Biopharma. And we've also seen some positive impact on the costs, including in-house manufacture of grain-based ethanol. And as I mentioned, discontinuing some poor margin businesses. For Q4, PBT after exceptional items and share of profits in the joint venture is up by 43.4% on a year-on-year basis. And PAT for the quarter stood at 40 crores and 141 crores for the full year, which is FY202223. Coming to some other non-financial kind of highlights for the business. As I mentioned, cost pressures have continued with high international ethanol prices. However, we've seen some softening in energy prices and, as you all know, a significant reset on freight, which has been a relief to us. I will talk about in a couple of minutes about some signs of softening future ethanol prices, but for too early for me to say whether it's going to be an ongoing trend. If it happens, it is good for us. We've talked about grain-based ethanol plants that we have installed, we've commissioned. The originally planned capacity has been achieved. It's helping us mitigate the impact of huge feedstock price increases. And we are working on further debottlenecking the ethanol capacities to get more ethanol out of it. Maybe we'll do some bolt-on capacity increases as well. So as a result, for the last many months, we have completely stopped importing ethanol, and if you go back 1.5-2 years, all the ethanol requirement for our business was actually coming from imports. So I think that has been a major, right, I would say, strategic action on the part of IGL to have taken that step, and I think it is helping us clearly. We've also, from time to time, spoken about new value-added products to the new specialties unit. So that project is by and large as per plan. It has got multiple units to be commissioned, smaller units to be commissioned one after another. The one has already been commissioned. Of course, businesses like this need much more than that. It needs significant amount of work in terms of product development, business development, which is work in progress. We are working with several good customers, domestic and international, and we have started initial commercial supplies to a few customers. I think this has been a good start as we expected. On NHL Biopharma, we successfully completed the EU GMP audit conducted by the European Directorate for the Quality of Medicines at a plant in Dehradun. And this allows us to sell some of our nutraceutical products into Europe because it is a kind of a standard in Europe like FDA. On the joint venture front, we've had a strong top-line growth for the year, but the margins have continued to be under pressure overall because of the increased cost of ethylene oxide and feedstocks and energy. We've also, IGL has also sold its entire stake in Shakambhuri Sugar and Allied Industries Limited. And the sale of the parent company's entire investment in equity shares and preference shares of the subsidiary is contemplated in one or more tranches to be completed before 31st May 2023. 15th August? Yeah. I stand corrected here. I've been told that it has been moved to 15th August to 2023. Yeah. To give you a quick snapshot on what has happened in various business segments, as you know, we've classified our business into three broad segments: bio-based specialties and performance chemicals, which is BSPC, portable spirits, and NHL Biopharma. So talking about BSPC, Q4 revenue is at 389 crores, down 9.3%. Full year revenue is at 1705 crores, down 15.9%. Having said that, EBITDA for quarter four is up 12%, and EBITDA for the full year for BSPC is up 17%. and Q4 EBITDA margins at 15% are up 300 basis points. Full year EBITDA margins at 9.7% are up 270 basis points for BSPC. As I mentioned, repeating it again, business transfer to the joint venture was part of the Q1 2021-22 results as far as BSPC is concerned. So that also, in terms of comparative terms, affects these numbers. We focused on better margin businesses. We've discontinued some poor margin businesses that has shown in terms of a reduction in top line, but you can see a healthy growth as far as EBITDA and EBITDA margins are concerned. We've taken a number of actions, including operational changes, to bring down costs that have helped. And we are developing new niche customers for our green product, which is an ongoing process for us. The advantage also was that we now have in-house ENA or ethanol available from grain waste. So we've to a large extent, but not to a large, to a significant extent, mitigated the cost of increase in ethanol prices for us. A new specialties unit is also going to help us build this business. It's a business which builds relatively slowly. It's not a plant which you set up and start operating at, you know, 50, 60, 70% capacity right on day one. I think the entire exercise is about developing products, working with customers, doing their business development work. So that's the focus. On the portable spirits front, Q4 revenues up 6% on year-on-year basis. Full year revenue up 10%. EBITDA for Q4 up by a very good 32%. And EBITDA for the full year is up 30%. On the EBITDA margins, for Q4, it is 16% up 300 basis points. For the full year, it is at 14% up 50 basis points. In summary, on the branded country liquor spirits, we've maintained a strong position in UP and Uttarakhand, which has been the case for several years. We also see that packaging material costs have gone up, but they are stabilizing, and there is, you know, giving us some room for margin improvement. There have been policy changes in several states. I think the biggest policy change, or change after change, I would say, has been happening in Delhi, where the government reverted to now only the government-controlled bodies since September 22. After all, that has been going on in Delhi, which means that there would be no private retailers for whiskey, which in a way might help us from the point of view of managing outstanding. The UP government has given some price increases as far as country liquor is concerned, and this is expected to have a positive impact in the upcoming financial year. So I'm talking about NHL Biopharma. Q4 revenue up 16.7%. Full year revenue up 22.7%, EBITDA in Q4 up 15%, and full year up 23%. Margins for the quarter at 30.2%, up 30 basis points. Margins for the full year at 28.4%, up 20 basis points. One of the good developments for the year has been a 4-time growth in the nicotine business segment compared to last year. We've continued to maintain this position as far as high quality society is concerned. The market has been challenging from the point of view of demand as well as pricing. And high quality society is the API. What's also good is that the dependence of the business on API has been reduced by growing the business in terms of nicotine, in terms of branded nutraceuticals. That trend is expected to continue in the year ahead as well. You must have seen the financial summary, so I will not go through further details on the financial summary. I have covered segment-wise performance, and I have largely talked about EBITDA performance, but in terms of the reported results, you will also see EBIT numbers, because that is how it is supposed to be reported. I will not go through them, because I've made a general commentary in terms of business performance as well as segment-wise performance. I've enclosed some details in terms of feedstock prices. Coal prices have softened a little bit, which is good. Ethanol prices have continued to remain high. I will talk about them a little bit, so that's encouraging. Ethanol has been important for our business, and I have from time to time spoken to you about the global ethanol scenario. I have mentioned to you that, you know, from a landed ethanol price of close to 40 rupees a litre, we went up to 70 rupees a litre, and the prices had continued to stay quite high for quite some time, which is quite unusual if you look at it historically. So obviously there are several considerations over there, which include ethanol blending, which includes, you know, the war. While everybody talks about war affecting everything, but I think here you would understand that it has a significant connect. Energy prices in Europe went up very, very high. You know, a few things have happened, some of which are encouraging. One is that there has been an extension of the grain deal with Russia to allow export of grain through Ukraine, navigating through Black Sea or the Bosphorus Strait. You know, you would know that Ukraine is actually a big supplier of grain in the world, 10% of wheat, 15% of corn, 13% of barley. So that immediately impacts the grain prices as well as ethanol prices in many ways. You know, the gas prices in Europe actually went up more than 10, 11 times to something like 340 euros per megawatt, which is down to close to 30 now. So that's been a big relief based on the actions which Europe has taken. I understand that they have very significantly reduced the dependence on Russian gas. You know, energy prices, of course, were also putting pressure on ethanol prices for two reasons. One is that you increase blending of ethanol, you know, for the countries to become more energy independent. Also, in general, people have, you know, higher costs led to more blending. I also understand that because of this constraint that Ukraine had, you know, they are also putting up their own ethanol plants. So it will be very interesting to see what that does, because they were finding difficulty in supplying the grain. In general, rising interest rates and weaker prices of agri commodities like wheat, corn, soybean has had an impact. There's a broader projection worldwide that longer-term gasoline usage is expected to decline, at least in U.S. and some of the major markets. And I think in India, you will probably see a similar trend. You know, for whatever it means, you know, you can all feel a little proud that India now is the world's largest producer and consumer of sugar. Ever since we were children, we thought Brazil was number one and we were somewhere close to number two. But as I said, you know, I have just spoken about trends, and we all know that in today's world, you know, it's very, very difficult for even the best experts to make predictions, and I am no expert. But since it is something that impacts our business, I thought I'll give you a quick update. So that is more or less what I had to talk to you about in terms of how our business has been doing across segments, what are some of the factors that have been impacting us, what are some of the actions that we've taken, and hope I was even communicating what I had to. And over to you, Akash, for us to take a few questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my question, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Primarily, wanted to understand the kind of margin expansion which we have seen in this quarter. Obviously, it was some bit of from the low margin business which we have discontinued, and most of the benefit maybe would be coming from the grain-based plant. So what other, apart from that, this, what other factors has contributed to margin expansion, and how much we are seeing going forward, there could be possibility of further margin expansion in context of this grain-based plant?
So Rohit, to answer your question, I think first of all, there are several factors. One, of course, is the fact that we have put in grain-based ethanol capacities in-house. And as far as that is concerned, in the last quarter, we were using all in-house ethanol. So a big jump coming from adding grain capacities by itself is not going to happen, except that if we start to get cheaper ethanol from imports, we should always direct what we are manufacturing, larger parts of that for the biofuel segment or if we add capacity. The other thing that we've done, as I said, is we've taken steps to reduce poor margin businesses. In fact, to tell you, one of our challenges was that we run continuous plants. And if you run continuous plants, various products get produced at a minimum throughput rate anyway, you know, one of them being MEG. So which meant that in a very, very bad market, there really has been a bloodshed as far as MEG is concerned, not only for IGL but for other people as well, but more so for IGL given our higher costs. So we had no choice but to sell the MEG that we were producing. So we've taken some operational action based on which we could operate our plant at much, much lower energy output and shifting the mix towards products which we could sell. So that has helped us. So obviously that business which sometimes could also be loss-making, we are not doing in terms of top line. And some other things that we are working on, some actions that we've taken, you know, we've been trying to run a very comprehensive energy improvement program on the site. A number of those actions have been taken. Had it not been for some of those actions, we would not have seen such results. That, I believe, will continue, and we will get some more benefits out of those actions in the year to come, because some of these actions are slightly longer term. It may take us 6 months or even 1 year to complete based on equipment that has been ordered, etc. Too early for me to say what outlook I give for you to margin, but I think there is enough reason to believe that the margin improvement that you saw this year and this quarter is not a once-off happening. It is based on fundamental things. It's based on ethanol capacities. It is based on energy. It is based on changing the operational philosophy for our plants, which allowed us to not do some of the poor margin business. So I hope that answers your question, Rohit.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Secondly, as we are talking about the debottlenecking and grain waste plant also, so just wanted to understand what is the update there, when we are expecting new capacity to add, and would we be looking for selling in the market also ethanol, if we have a better pricing scenario?
You've answered the question, Rohit. I don't have numbers to give you right now in terms of what capacity we will increase, but we are quite encouraged that we've done the right thing, and we are also aware that the government is quite bullish on continue to blend more. As you know, the government has actually preponed the target of ethanol blending from 2030 to 2025. So which means there will be requirement for ethanol, and from our perspective, anything additional that we produce, we believe we could always sell it to the biofuel for biofuel blending, largely. Of course, it's a little more complicated than that, because there are geography constraints and transportation constraints. It's not as suddenly you could ship it all the way to Tamil Nadu. But yes, the generic strategy will be, of course, we have to also look at how to allocate our capex and so on, but the generic strategy would be to get some more capacities out of our plants without spending an awful amount of money. And if we have whatever amount of surplus ethanol we have, we could contribute more towards the biofuels opportunity.
Okay, great. One last question before I come into queue. In the portable business, as we have mentioned that we have got the price revision from the UP government. So for other region, what is the update, and given the price increase from Q1 FY24, maybe we should be expecting better margin in the portable business it also, or it could be in the similar line?
See, I think we are talking about branded country spirits, and maybe I can ask, you want to comment, or maybe Deepak can comment and you can add.
Deepak, I'll comment on IMFL country liquor.
Deepak, are you there?
In terms of, to answer your question, so in the country liquor, the EDP increase will be having a kind of a positive impact. across the strengths of business, that is 25%, 36% and 42.8%, there has been a significant, not a significant one, but a considerable price rise given by the UP government. And when it comes to Uttarakhand, the introduction of Tetra packaging in the country liquor segment, it also gives us another kind of an area to improve our margins in this business.
Okay. As far as IMFL is concerned, in Delhi, as our CEO mentioned a few minutes ago, Delhi offers a good opportunity for newcomers and Indian companies, because number of MNCs are not approved this year. You would have read it in the newspapers. So what we have consciously done is, in states like UP, where our deployment of working capital is very high, because we have to offer duty paid credits, here is an opportunity where we deal with government, and government pays us within 30 days. So the entire cash flow cycle improves, number one. Number two, we have made huge gains in terms of as many as three vodkas we are doing, one plain and two flavors. And, you know, cautiously we are changing the product mix and also the state mix. So ultimately, you know, in the long term, this will give us very good results, because our dependence on our home states of UP and Uttarakhand, number one, will not only reduce, it will improve the cash cycle as well as the bottom line.
Okay.
Yes, we are also cautiously, the management has taken a call to enter into markets which are corporation driven, where the monies are secure and the payments come in time. So we are opening up states like Rajasthan, which is a corporation-led market, and it's a big white spirits market. And our amazing vodka is showing good signs and good traction. So it is already number two vodka in UP, Uttarakhand and Delhi. So we would like to open up more corporation markets and where we can make our presence felt.
Okay, sir. Got it. That's it from my side. I'll call back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. A few questions from my side. Firstly, want to understand, there's a statement in the earnings presentation where you say that you're a leader in country liquor. So I just want to understand, country liquor or branded country liquor, and how different is the segment? How big is the country liquor size, and how big is the branded segment out of that?
So it's not much of a difference as far as we are concerned. You know, we all our country liquor is sold as branded, so it is branded country liquor.
Okay, so how much percentage market share would you have in branded country liquor, if I may ask?
Yeah, Deepak, you would know the number, size number.
To answer your question, we hold a decent market share of about 25 to 27% in UP. We are one of the largest producers of country liquor there. And in terms of the market share in Uttarakhand, we command close to about a 50 to 55% share in Uttarakhand.
Okay. So when you say you have 27% of country liquor in UP, you are not discriminating between branded country liquor and normal country liquor?
No, we are not discriminating. Both are the same.
Both are the same. Okay, understood. Now I want to understand one more thing, sir. In the recent excise policy by the state of UP, they mentioned something on the lines of what the Rajasthan government does in the sense of UPML or UML, UP made liquor. How are you viewing the segment? Do you think this segment is going to be very lucrative for a company like yours, who has a huge market in country liquor already?
So to answer your question, the UP made liquor is predominantly directed at, in order to promote the production from grain. grain-based ENA, leveraging that to make a country liquor. That's what the idea of the UP government was. What they've done is they have placed this entire UP segment, UPML, in the 42.8 strength of country liquor. And we definitely do see this as a kind of like a large market. Having said that, so this particular 42.8 has a traction in all of your UP, that is from west to east. And we are currently working out on our logistics to cater to far west of the UP, because our plant is in the eastern side of the UP. So in our adjacent districts of the manufacturing location, we are pretty much well placed in that, and we are leveraging our existing network to penetrate into the shops that are allocated for country liquor. But on the western and the central part of UP, we are working on our logistics, and hopefully by the end of next quarter we'll be able to update you more on this.
Understood. So you, one of the participants had asked a question, and you had responded saying about your the vodka segment. You mentioned your positioning in the vodka segment. You had also launched a whiskey, single reservoir whiskey. Is that gaining traction in the market, especially the home market?
We have launched three new brands in the last 1 year, and we will like to consolidate them. First, as you rightly mentioned, is Amazing Vodka. Amazing Vodka has got very good response from the consumers, and we have as much as 25 to 27% market share in Uttarakhand. We have more than 12% in UP, and we already have more than 17% in Delhi, and within a span of one year. This is largely due to a brilliant blend that we have innovated, and you know, end of the day, blend is what sells in the market. Now, as far as single reserve is concerned, single reserve is, you know, the whiskey segment is very difficult in India because multinationals are all available, make their brands available in India, and it's very, very competitive. It's very easy for us to burn a lot of money and try to make gains in the whiskey market, but ultimately the consumer is extremely, you know, the franchise of the brands in competition is very, very strong. And, you know, deep pockets are required for making whiskies popular. So it is a slow burner, but it's a definite growth. We have good traction of single reserve in Uttarakhand and Delhi. UP, we are concentrating on vodka, and the third brand that we have launched called Zumba. Zumba, as the name suggests, it talks about fun and frolic. And it is aimed at young, and it's a fun drink. And we have got two expressions of Zumba. One is the Zumba Black, which is a spiced rum. Spiced rum is a new innovation in the market. You know, youngsters love spiced rum, as opposed to the traditional cane juice and, you know, the off smell, which will give off smell. We offer genuine spiced rum. And second is the, you know, we have summer, very prominent summer in the north, particularly in our hinterland of UP and Uttarakhand and Delhi. So we have offered a citrus version of Zumba, which has, the early signs are very encouraging. And as you know, we make Bacardi in Kashipur, Bacardi brands. It is coming from the same source. We have very high degree of quality consciousness at our mother plant in Kashipur, and the good report is that we are making good inroads into the semi-premium segment. This is our first brand in the semi-premium segment, which is as high as Bacardi Plus, we say. So we are at, say, 5% higher than Bacardi, and I'm sure in the next few quarters the brand will establish itself. So all the three brands we are very closely working. We have no plans to launch new brands because we want to consolidate on these three brands launched last year.
Understood, sir. So last question from my side, what has been the ENA price trend in UP, and what is it now? What was it during the quarter? What is it now? And the same thing for green prices, broken, that is damaged green prices.
Sorry? Green price.
broken rice prices, because that's what the main source of ENA would be?
Yeah, look, I think I don't have the exact numbers for grain prices, but maybe you can send us this question. I know that, you know, they have been moving within, they have been largely range bound, which is around
20 to 25.
See, the grain which we are buying from FCI, that is costing us 20 rupees. And from the market, the grain largely is coming in the range of 21 to 22 at present. The prices have slightly firmed up in last 1 or 1.5 months, but the FCI prices is firm at 20 rupees.
Understood. And so similarly for ENA?
ENA in the market, since we are buying grain and molasses more than the ENA, still I will say that the grain prices are ranging from 49 to 52.
Oh,
sorry,
on
ENA.
Understood. You are talking about ENA buying prices or selling? We largely sell ENA.
I am talking about the selling prices or the market prices at which the market is trading or which companies are buying it.
So there is a wide range, Nishan. It varies anywhere between 62 to 65 to even some cases 70, depending on applications and so many other factors. We are not a very big ENA player. We have a huge consumption. Based on our opportunity, we sell some.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bala Subramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions. Sir, on the power and fuel cost side, it is above 15% in Q4, 15% of sales in Q4 FY23. And then we can expect this will normalize around 8 to 10% in that kind of range. And we also signed agreement with Renew Green to procure captive wind and solar hybrid power. When this will come into the place? You could share more light on that. These are my first question.
So, Bala, to answer your second question first, we expect the Renew agreement to be, you know, we've already signed it, but for us to start commercially getting this power in about 1.5 years from now. But from the time we signed, roughly 2 years. All that, right? And as far as the cost of materials is concerned, I was looking at the
question for power and fuel.
Power and fuel.
So this you are asking, Mr. Bala Subramaniam, is vis-a-vis the last quarter or what?
Sir, power and fuel cost. Yeah, in this quarter, sir. Q4.
Q4 power and fuel cost is about 102 crores.
Yes, sir. It's above 15% of sales. If you look at historical, it comes to 8 to 10% of sales.
Okay.
And so the forecast will be remain elevated in that range, or like how you are going to manage?
So, Bala, what has happened is there are two things. Why the power cost as a percentage is high? One, you know, power and fuel cost, not only power cost. One,
yes.
We have mentioned to you that the energy cost really went up and have been largely, has been quite high. And that is why I also displayed a coal cost, because that also contributes to fuel cost. You know, so we were buying coal, which was quite expensive. That is one factor. The second factor is that since we've also discontinued some not so profitable businesses in terms of volume, etc., so you see that to some extent that there's an impact of the scale, so per unit cost seems to be higher. But if you see overall EBITDA levels have been much better. So I think in terms of trend, what I would see, it is a bit of a guesstimate looking forward. One is that as volumes come back, you know, volumes were relatively lower, both from a JV perspective, from our own perspective, we got rid of some businesses. And as energy costs stabilize, whether it is coal or whether it is Renew power coming to us, I would, you know, a little cautiously say that our power and fuel cost as a percentage of revenue can be expected to come down. Very difficult for me to give specific numbers, but I've given you the rationale based on which I'm saying it.
Okay, got it, sir. Sir, on the export side, what would be our revenue share for FY23 and Q4 FY23? And are we facing any challenges on the export side because some of the countries are slowing down right now? If you could share your comment, that would be really helpful.
So, Bala, if countries are slowing down, obviously it will put some pressure. As of now, we've had some challenges which have included trade, which have included, you know, increased costs of ethanol, which have included lower costs of MEG, etc. So I think we have been, all of that is there. We are looking at it cautiously. Like you, I also read Germany has gone into a recession. So there is no doubt that there will be some impact, but how much is very difficult for me to right now say. But it is not that it will suddenly fall off the cliff, that we don't.
Okay, sir. Sir, on that bio-based specialties and performance chemicals, if you could share which are the products are witnessing tractions, or which are the products are facing slowdown?
See, we had we have two categories in this. One is a category called glycols. So in glycols, what we saw was that over the last 3 or 4 years, one big customer of ours, which was buying glycols for use in packaging, they shifted to recycled PET in the US. So all our, and that customer at one point in time was 95%, all our sales to that customer came down. However, the good thing is that over the last 3 or 4 years, we have developed a number of niche few customers, which is about 15-20 customers. And our sales have continued to steadily grow. And despite the fact that we lost a customer which was 95% of our sales 4 years ago, we have still maintained 70% of our profitability. And we expect that this steady growth will continue in the years to come. You know, we have also seen some players who are working on 100% biopet. Right now, the biopet which is made in the world uses two components. One of the component is bio-MEG, the other one is PTA. PTA was still not bio-based. And people are very kind of somewhat excited that they would like to offer a 100% bio-based PAP. When those units come up, we are expecting that it will happen in the next 1 to 2 years. We will see further traction in that segment. We face a challenge as far as glycol ethers are concerned, mainly because propyl and butyl prices internationally dropped, so we had a lot of competition, whilst we maintained domestic sales over there. ENA, we've seen good traction for a few reasons. One is that we are now manufacturing grain-based ENA ourselves, so that momentum will also continue. In biopolymers, we've done quite well. It is a small business, but we've grown well both in terms of top line as well as bottom line. And because of our focus on specialty value-added products, we expect that momentum to continue. In the new specialties area, it is something which is a completely new range of products, not something that has gone to the joint venture. The progress that I have seen so far in terms of the work that we are doing on process development, business development, initial commercial successes is positive. So you will see that we will continue to see good traction in a new specialty product, particularly, somewhat this year, because this will be the first year of various parts of the plant getting commissioned, but definitely next year. So I have tried to give you a snapshot on the relative level of traction that we are seeing in various segments.
Thank you so much for detailed answers, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good Q4. So my first question is, in the last 1 year, we had a challenging P&L. However, the balance sheet has become a more leaner, given that we have done a lot of non-core businesses divestment. I just wanted to get a perspective from a three-year, vision. What will be the individual levers for individual segments, and what are the key challenges that we may face to get that particular vision right? Thank you.
So thank you, Rohit, for asking me a difficult question, but I'll give you a long answer.
I'll tell you what are so you asked me about key levers and challenges, right?
Right. I mean, from a 3-year perspective, what are the growth drivers across our business segments, and what could be the challenges that we might face?
Okay. So, you know, the drivers for our business is one of the actions that we had taken was to do significant risk mitigation in terms of feedstock. And as I had spoken about it earlier, we are among few companies which now have potentially 3 sources of ethanol and 3 potential outlets for the ethanol. So you could do grain, you could do molasses, you could do imports, and you can use them in chemicals, you can use them in portable spirits, you can use them in biofuels. That has largely been taken, and I think that makes our business quite resilient. From the point of view of safeguarding against some of the things that we saw. The second broad key driver is where is the growth going to come from? So in terms of the growth, we have been looking at several things. I think we have looked at new areas, which is what led us to taking our small steps towards new value-added products, where we are looking at amines, we are looking at plasticizers, we are looking at oil field chemicals, obviously, already we are selling some, we are looking at green solvents, and more new chemistries as well. And the third driver would be our ability to leverage our strength and credibility in several areas, which is sustainability, product development, process development, R&D, and developing some real good partnerships. And we are, you know, talking to, as we speak, at least 5 or 6 big global companies to see how we can develop some partnerships. So these I see as key growth drivers. Of course, we take actions internally within the organization, which is to restructure, strengthen the growth engine in terms of people, in terms of systems and processes, in terms of culture. The challenges that I see are, one, of course, you know, whether the work slows down, is a question that was asked from me just before. The challenges in terms of feedstock prices, like ethanol, right now, of course, they are showing signs of softening, which is a good sign. And the competition response in terms of what happens to MEG, which goes to polyester, I think, and I may, you know, I like to believe that the worst headwinds that we had to see, we've seen in the last 1.5-2 years. Some headwinds may continue, we may have a few new ones, but my guess is that the worst headwinds we've seen. And I think now we need to direct our sales as SAIL to make use of new tailwinds there. They are potentially significant tailwinds. I think the fact that the world is looking at India is a very real thing for partnerships with good manufacturing organizations in India. The fact that there are a number of developments in India in the chemical space, be it green hydrogen, be it green hydrogen-based chemicals, be it green ammonia, be it green energy, I think they are going to be very interesting enablers for the chemical industry. So all in all, I think times of caution continue, you understand that. We are in a very, very rapidly changing world. But given what I've seen over the last couple of years, I'm careful about and uncertain about what's going to happen, but I'm reasonably confident and optimistic that we'll navigate this well.
Sure. Thanks a lot. That was an elaborate answer. So second question is, Anand, sir, for you. On the balance sheet front, once these divestments are done and we receive money from Clariant for the rest of the 190 crores, what would be the debt on our balance sheet?
Rohit, if you talk about
the debt numbers, the company is having say about 621 crores term loan. Okay.
Okay.
As on 31st March 2023. Out of that, if we get that money which is to come from the joint venture, which is about 100 crores, so that will also go to the debt repayment. Apart from this, we have a normal repayment of the rupee term loan, which is about 150 crores. And of course the $11.4 million for EPBG, because the remaining period for EPBG is only for 2 years now. So hopefully I will say that the debt will start coming down, because there is no big size capex in the pipe except some of the expansions in the grain distillery or some of the projects which we have already undertaken. Okay, so we don't expect any big number or big increase in the term loan. And of course, it will come down. That's what I can say.
Right. Just one last question, if I can squeeze in. From the ethoxylate perspective, the business that we have diversified to Clariant, how much of the ethoxylates usually go in for agrochemicals? I'm asking this question primarily because there has been a significant demand slowdown on the agrochemicals, given that inventory destocking is going on and plus China coming back into equation. So just wanted to get a perspective whether it will affect the JV business significantly or not. Thank you.
Rohit, I don't have the exact numbers for what percentage of there is agrochemical. I can only see that given some of the actions that we've taken on the cost front and some more that we will take, because the challenges of the JV were completely different. As of now, we will be seeing some increase in JV offtake actually. But to be honest, how agrochemicals, it's not very big for them. Look, there are many segments, but it's not as if it is a dominant segment for them.
Sure. Got it. Thanks a lot for answering the questions and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, all. I got few questions. First, on the revenue outlook for each of the segment for say FY24 and 25, we had a lot of demerger which optically made revenue growth look softer for last two quarters. Can you help us understand what in the range? I know we don't give the guidance, but at least a ballpark range at which. Is it possible for us to grow the revenue, assuming the raw material prices remain where we are today?
Yes, and as you said, we don't give a forecast for sales and top line. But I have, in my long answers to questions from Rohit and Bala before that, I have talked about the levers. I have talked about the challenges. I have narrated the action that we've already taken. I said that some of these things will continue to positively impact us in the times to come. There are some uncertainties around, as you said, I was asked about recession in the world, about what happened to ethanol prices. The fact that I believe the last 1.5-2 years was probably one of the most difficult times, and times ahead in my view would be better. And the same thing I have to say about the business. Very, very difficult to put a number to it, or at least I would not like to give a forecast.
Fair enough, sir. Second question is on the ethanol. We have used grain-based ethanol for captive consumption while we started with the view that we may use it for the blending. Say a year down the line, if ethanol prices come down to say 40 rupees again, will you want to shift the grain-based ethanol for the energy and we start again importing back the ethanol for our downstream products?
The answer is in your question, the good thing is that our capacities will not go waste. We can direct more and more towards biofuels and for captive use imported ethanol.
Will start importing.
it will help us on your top line as well as bottom line.
Got it. But just now that we have an edge on the raw material locally, at least significantly, because we are now backward integrated for ethanol. From a business perspective, what is more advantageous position for India Glycol? Ethanol prices remain high and we are backward integrated, we can always remain competitive to peers. Or you want the ethanol prices to normalize and we maximize the earnings from all our assets. So what is more idealistic situation for India Glycols?
That is also clear, Sanjay, you would understand that. If the ethanol was a free market and everything could be sold everywhere, and then you would imagine that if the ethanol prices fall, what would happen to my capacity? But that's not the situation. You've got a government which wants to blend 20% by 2025 compared to 2030. So they are encouraging people to put ethanol capacities, and the price of ethanol is decided by the government, leaving on the table some reasonable, decent or marginal profit for the manufacturer. Okay, so that is the case. In this situation, what happens is, our other business, which has traditional business of India Glycol, is in the business of ethanol-based, bio-based chemicals. Now, you said we have an edge. We don't have an edge. We have tried to mitigate the risk. Right now, we don't have an edge. At one point in time, we had an edge because our competition is not ethanol. Our competition is crude.
Mm-hmm.
So if ethanol prices come down globally, and if we can source ethanol cheaper for the chemical sector, it is good for us. Increased crude prices, lower ethanol prices is good for us.
Fair.
I mean, it is more complicated than that, but, you know, I have to give you an answer, so that is what broadly it is.
No, it's quite clear. It's quite clear for me. The next question is on the JV performance. For the year at least, can you elaborate and explain us how is the JV performing? Are we on the track to what we thought when the JV was signed?
So, on the top line, yes. On the bottom line, no. And I have mentioned to you that the same factors which were impacting us, particularly EO and ethoxylate, which they sell based on Reliance, so that affected their profitability quite a lot. But on the top line, as I mentioned, it has been a good growth for the year for the JV. So, going forward, I think some more actions are being taken on the cost front, which will help them compete better in the market. Some actions are also taken, which were always supposed to be slightly longer term, which is developing the bio-based business in their international market, which, as you would imagine, is time-consuming, one from an approval perspective. Second, it also involves transferring some recipes, some technologies here, which is also a little time-consuming. So those two are the positives which we would like, as the JV would like to leverage in this year and the year ahead.
Got it. My last question is on the CapEx. So we intend to increase our ethanol capacity from 180 KL to 360 KL, and this will be largely a brownfield. So will this be a significantly lower capex than what we did in the first phase? Because a lot of infra will be commonly used when we are expanding the capacity. And number two, what is the capex anticipation for FY24?
The answer to your question, will it be lower? Is yes. We still have a lot of utilities which can leverage. We have a brownfield site, things like power, etc. are already there. We also have some infrastructure traditionally from molasses-based, fermenters-based, that, etc. Contract, engineering teams. So the cost will continue to be significantly lesser than that of greenfield site. The second part, request Anand to respond to you in terms of capital.
In 24, we are hopeful that the capex size for all the capexes which is under pipeline or which we will start fresh, like 180 KLPD to 360 KLPD, will be around 200.
Got it. You want to give the number? What does in the capex means from increasing 180 KLPD to 360 KLPD?
No, that is in process. I cannot share that number right now. But the overall capex size for the year 24 will be around 200 crores. Fair enough.
That answers all my question, and best of luck for the coming quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for this call. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, Akash. Thank you very much for conducting this conference. Thank you, gentlemen, and ladies. No lady asked me a question though. For joining us on this conference and showing the level of interest that you've shown by asking me a lot of questions. We hope we've given you the responses that you needed. And on behalf of my colleagues here, thank you. A good evening and best wishes to all of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.